May the name of Jesus Christ be magnified in each of our hearts this morning as we wait on him. It's a blessing to be here again. It hardly seems that 7 months have gone by since we were here regularly on a Sunday morning. There's been some changes, but not too many. It's really good to be with you again. As I was pondering what to preach this morning, some verses came to me that I had studied some years ago and intrigued me. I wondered what was being said. And it just felt that God wanted me to share this morning with you. You can turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27. I don't know much about the background of Leviticus 27. I didn't even study that. I'm just picking out some verses. The title of the message is this morning, Devoted or Accursed? Devoted or Accursed? Now, these words to you, to me, are opposite. But it's interesting that in Leviticus 27, they come from the same word, the word cherem, C-H-E-R-E-M. Both this word means devoted or accursed. Now, look at verse 21. Leviticus 27, verse 21. But the field, the field that is sanctified for the year of Jubilee. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as a field devoted, the possession thereof shall be the priests. Talking about a field that is devoted. All right, go to verse 28. It says, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Verse 29, none devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall be surely put to death. Now, verse 21, we use the word devoted. And verse 27, or verse 28 and verse 29, I'll use that word devoted. The first two verses, something was devoted to God. The last verse, something that was to be put to death. What is this word? Kerem. Well, Strong says it's a dedicated thing. All right. Well, we can see that this was a field that was dedicated. It was holy unto the Lord. And then verse 28, it mentioned about a devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord, whatever it is, it's his possessions. It is devoted. It is dedicated to the Lord. But then in verse 29, it mentions some things that shall surely be put to death. What is this? Strong says it's a dedicated thing, things which should have been utterly destroyed. Or appointed to utter destruction. Looking at the word devoted, what does it mean to be devoted or to devote? Or what is devotion? Those are all words that we're familiar with. Well, it just simply means dedication or great dedication and loyalty. The act of devoting something or being devoted to a particular purpose. Devoted. Devoted. So I was thinking about this past week. I was driving, and I was, like I usually am, a little bit late. And I got be yeah, a car pulled out in front of me, and I looked at the car, and it was an old car, and an old man sitting in it, an older man. And I thought, okay, well, he's going to go very slowly, and I was getting a little bit perturbed. It was a convertible. It looked like a 1962 Oldsmobile 98, I think is what it was. The more I studied that, I followed him for a little bit, and I was thinking, you know, maybe there's a lesson here, because this message was going through my mind, and I thought about this man, and I thought about him. This car was perfect. It looked that way. It wasn't. It looked immaculate. And he was driving it nicely and calmly. But then he got to a hill and he really stepped on it, and all of a sudden he was up the hill. Oh yeah, he's burning the carbon out. That's something good to do to an old car. You know, that man was devoted to his car, I think. It looked to me. He was devoted. Once upon a time, there was a dog named Hachiko. This was about 100 years ago. Not quite. This was in Japan. It was a dog that the owner had adopted, and they became good friends, this man and his dog. This man loved his dog above all and treated him as his son. The two were inseparable. As Hachiko, the dog, grew older, he started to see his owner off to work in the morning at the train station. He would follow his owner off to work, and he would sit at the train station until his owner would come back after work. And he did that for 2 years until his owner died. Suddenly, never showed up. He had a cerebral hemorrhage and died suddenly and unexpectedly. Hachiko, the dog, moved in with another member of the family. But throughout the rest of his 10-year-long life, he kept going to this train station every morning and afternoon, precisely when the train was due to enter the station, waiting in vain for the return of his beloved owner, which he sadly never came back. That was in 1925. In 1932, the Japanese newspaper picked up the story and published it. This dog became a celebrity. And in 1934, a statue of the dog was unveiled at a grand ceremony, and the dog himself was there as the main guest. In 1935, he passed away suddenly, or peacefully, on the street, waiting at the train station. That is devotion. It's a touching story. Now, what is accursed? What is accursed? How can we draw a reference or a comparison to these two words? Remember, this word charum means devoted or accursed. And we know what accursed means. It means something that's doomed, something that is enduring the effects of a curse. It's something that is despised or to be put away without a question. Now, I'm going to follow with me. We're going to follow this word through the Old Testament. We're not going to look at near every time it is used. But in order to get a better picture of it, you can turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 is the account of Jericho. And we know what Jericho was. It was a Canaanite city. It was one of these cities that was to be destroyed completely. Look at verse 17. This is talking about Jericho. And this city shall be accursed. There's that word. It's the same word as what we read in Leviticus, devoted. the city shall be devoted. The city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, talking to the people, in any wise, keep yourselves from the devoted thing, from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. We know what happened. We know that that was done. We know what Achan did. Chapter 7 talks about it, that he actually, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And we know what that story was. This city was devoted by God to destruction. It was accursed because of the sin and wickedness in it. It was devoted to destruction. Notice by now maybe you're understanding a little bit more what is behind these two words. It was accursed from the because it was evil, but it was God. God had commanded it to be destroyed, and so it was devoted to God for destruction. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is the account of the Amalekites. This is the story of Saul. And Saul was commanded to completely destroy the Amalekites. It reminds me of what Brother Cliff read there in Obadiah about Edom. But verse 2 says, the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. What I want is, let me see, verse 21. Well, we know the story. I'm skipping ahead through the story, how they were supposed to see. Where is that? Verse 6, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, and get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. No, that's not the verse that I wanted. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. Okay, total destruction. It was totally accursed. The Amalekites were to be destroyed. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been cherin. Utterly destroyed, which should have been devoted, which should have been accursed. There's translated utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. God had said this was to be mine. It was to be destroyed because of their sin. You were supposed to utterly destroy it. You're supposed to follow exactly what I had commanded, but it wasn't done. Devoted or accursed. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. Verse 26. You might think I have the wrong verse here, but this is the verse that I want. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. This is talking about sinful sexuality. It's talking about things that this world knows a lot about, and where the world, our culture, is reeking with this. But the word here, nets, whose heart is snares and nets, that word is that same word, cherem. Notice how this type of thing is totally against God, 100% against God. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken from her. What I'm laying before you this morning is these two words are so opposites. This is a warning. And I find more bitter than death, the woman. This is a serious warning. And we cannot this morning tolerate a little bit of this in our lives. One more. You don't need to turn to this, but it's the very last verse in the Old Testament. Malachi 4, verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, with a sherem. This word is used many, many more times. But I'd like to go back now. The next point is, what is a Christian? I'd like to bring these thoughts together to us this morning. What is a Christian? What is a Christian in relation to this being accursed or devoted? Well, we know what a Christian is. I'm speaking to them this morning. You're totally devoted to serving the Lord. And yet, at the same time, you're totally committed to destroying the accursed things that Satan throws at us to get us to stumble. That's what a true Christian is. He's totally devoted, but yet totally determined, committed, devoted to destroying the accursed things. What I hold before you this morning, and I know it's not a new thought to you, but what I hold before you is all or nothing Christianity. We're either totally in or totally out. Oh, so many times we try to have a mixture. We allow a little bit of a mixture, but that's not what is a Christian this morning. A Christian is totally devoted, 100%. We looked at the examples of Achan, where everything was totally devoted to the Lord for destruction, but he kept a little part of it. The story of Saul, where that Amalek was totally devoted for destruction, but Saul kept Agag, kept it just a little part of it back. I had to think about, and I'm not sure about this, but just last Sunday we talked about Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm not sure how this enters in, but could it be that as the church was devoting things to the Lord, 100% devotion, that Ananias and Sapphira kept back apart? I don't know. Think about that. Let's go to the New Testament. Thinking about 100% devotion, turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Maybe we start at verse 22. Jesus is speaking here, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We're either lost or saved this morning. We're either dying or we're living. We're either sinners or saints. We're either holy or defiled. Now, Jesus here knew what a cross was more than we do. A cross was accursed. It was a type of punishment that was the worst of the worst. I don't know how to even compare that to today. It was a curse to the nth degree. Yeah, I don't know what a cross was. I'm sure it was the ugliest thing. It probably had a smell. It was heavy. It was hard to bear. Jesus could hardly carry it. And that may have just been the crossbeam. But to those who chose the cross, Jesus chose the cross because the other option was not even an option to him. 100% devotion called him to choose the cross. The New Testament martyrs also chose the cross. It was 100% devotion to God that caused them to choose the accursed cross. The Anabaptists knew what the stake was. I don't know what the stake, I can't get my mind around that. The stake, being burned at the stake. Again, an ugly thing, an accursed thing. But yet they chose it because of 100% devotion. First Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now that word anathema means is a similar word, maybe, possibly, to the accursed. It's a religious ban or excommunication. Let him be separated. Let him be totally outside. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be. Well, Strong's uses the word ban. That's interesting to me because of the background of some of us. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. You can turn there. I don't have that in my notes. I mean, I don't have it written out. Galatians 1, 8 and 9 also brings in this very clearly here. The all or nothing Christianity, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Now, I'm not saying, we understand that we're not to go around cursing people. But this somehow in our minds, this needs to be a distinctness, a complete separation. And I need this so much because so often I just don't know. I forget what 100% devotion is. Or God's still working at me to try to get me to that point where I understand what it is. To give me your all. And yet we just want to hold a little bit. Turn to Luke 14, verse 27. I talked about a cross. I talked about a stake. And we don't understand that. What does 100% devotion mean for us today? Because we're not facing a cross or a stake or the electric chair or the injection. Luke 14:27. But whosoever doth not bear his cross. No, verse 26 is what I want. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so cross-bearing, 100% devotion calls for hating even our own family. We understand what we mean when we say that. Not that we have hate for our family members, but 100% devotion calls for God first. This morning, we know what is dear to our hearts. In our own hearts, we know God, with our conscience, with the Holy Spirit, is able to in a sense, provide a gauge of where we are in relation to devotion to Him. We know what is dear to our hearts. We know what is threatening our salvation. Each one of us know that thing within us that is rising and wants to overtake us and take away that devotion and bring in that mixture. We know what is dividing our allegiances. We know what's taking our attention. We do know, and God knows. And what does God think when He looks down on us? Oh, I tremble to think about this, but we've chosen to devote our lives totally to Him, and yet He sees us distracted with this stuff. What does He think? The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Now, that's graphic language. I count all things but loss, and I count them as manure. Or count them as what's junk or thrown out to the dogs. All or nothing Christianity. 100% devotion. To be 100% devoted to Christ this morning means that there are things that need to be 100% accursed. Am I faithful in that? Like I said before, too often we allow a mixture in our lives and we're not singularly focused. Sure, we say God is first in our lives, but we start the day without thinking of Him. First thoughts in the morning are so important. When your mind is in its neutral state, what does your mind go to? It's a challenge to me. I probably said that before. We start today without thinking of Him. Instead, we think of our jobs. We think of money that we might get from our jobs. We think of the dreams that we have for the future and our planning, thinking how it can be done. Or we think about our 62 Oldsmobile or whatever it is. We think about our trucks. We think about our boats. We think about our airplanes. Or we think ugly things like pornography, unclean thoughts, dishonesty. We allow attitudes to intrude into our relationship, into our 100% devotion. We're 100% devoted to God, oh yes. But we allow attitudes, relationships, lack of trust, lack of forgiveness, envy and bitterness. And even good things like church work and school work, but maybe we have a selfish focus in all that, and it's more about lifting up ourselves. And it's all these things that God is seeing, and He's seeing, you're calling me Lord, Lord. You're saying you're 100% devoted, but yet I see these things. Thanks be to the Lord for His unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's why I opened the message with thoughts of Christ, because it's only through Him. As we look at this, we know there's so many times we fall short, when I fall short. And there's mixtures in my life. But that's what Jesus Christ is there for. He gently calls us, "Give me your heart. Give me all of it." If you do that, I'll give you a new start. And you are then 100% devoted. Just a couple verses in closing. we know what God says about divided loyalties. Romans, or Revelation 3, the church at Laodicea, 15 and 16. Very familiar verse. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Very graphic illustration. In these warm days like we had this past week, we want our water cold. Most of us do. Sometimes there's people that like it a little, not quite so cold, so they can drink it faster, but lukewarm water on a hot day does not do very much. And on a cold winter day, nothing is, well, not nothing, but a mug of hot tea or hot coffee is what we want. You know, God can work with a hot heart that's on fire for him, and he can work with a cold heart. A heart that's rejecting. But God can work with that because that sinner knows where he is. What God cannot work with is a heart that is divided. It's one way, it's 100% devoted on the surface or on the outside, but inside it's not. That's something that God cannot work with. Something has to change. It needs to either get cold or hot. Luke 16:13, you don't need to turn to this, but no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's close with Hebrews 10. It's a verse of encouragement to me, and I want to leave it with some verses here. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. I'll read these verses and make no further comment. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's kneel for prayer.